Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This is something probably just about all of us have done at one time or another, whether you have Christian faith or not. Pray. From the person in the midst of a crisis who cries out, "God, if you're there, help me out just this once," to others whose minds are almost in a state of prayer for much of each day. Then there are those of us, many of us, whose prayers often resemble a shopping list of problems that we hope God will fix. According to Daniel Henderson, our prayers can be so much more than a shopping list or a kind of spiritual lucky charm. He's the author of Transforming Prayer, and he says prayer can be a genuine and even enjoyable encounter with God where we're actually changed to be more like Jesus. How good would that be, no matter where you come from? Daniel joins us now from the United States. Daniel, welcome to Open House.
Oh, thank you, Lee. It's a delight to be with you.
Thank you. Daniel, I want to start by asking you about an experience you had as a college student that changed your prayers forever.
Yeah, that's right. I think up to that point, Lee, I was like a lot of people of faith with, as you've already mentioned, just kind of a grocery list approach to prayer. And as we talk about in the book, you know, it's really a focus on God's hand, what I need from God. And, of course, there's a long list of those things. But on this particular occasion, it was one night in the dorm, and I had really been stimulated in my heart about the idea of seeking God's face and about prayer really as a means of receiving intimacy from God and with God rather than just passing on information to God. And in that particular moment, the convergence of reading a journal I was keeping and some scripture passages and just this tugging in my heart, I found myself, unusual for me, I found myself kind of laying on my face on that dorm room floor and rising an hour later knowing that my understanding of prayer would never be the same because I just sensed it was just an enjoyment of the presence and intimacy that God wanted me to have with him rather than a religious routine of rehearsing a list.
That's quite an experience. To what did you attribute that experience?
You know, I think it was really some triggers from the Bible, frankly. One of my professors at the time had been talking about an experience where Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And, of course, we really talk about that idea of the face of God in the book. I'd read from the New Testament where Paul was talking about his desire to know Christ. And in my journaling, I really was reading from my own entries a sense of God's hand on my life and directing and leading and just was overwhelmed with the fact that he so wanted to have a more intimate relationship with me. And I think it really was just my response to some of those triggers that really shaped that particular moment.
Daniel, I think many people, especially spectators to faith, might think of prayer as perhaps a coping strategy, a comforting religious activity at best, that probably doesn't change much about life. What would you say to that?
Oh, it's a great question, and everybody has some kind of coping strategy, of course, whatever it is. And, you know, sadly, for some, it's drugs or alcohol or some other kind of habitual behavior that can be self-destructive. Clearly, the Bible says that prayer is a means by which we exchange our worries for peace and we exchange our fears for assurance and grace. Jesus taught how at that throne of grace, an analogy he used to describe prayer, we receive grace and mercy in our time of need. But it certainly is much more than that. It really is a way to take the truth of what the Bible says about God and his character and even about ourselves and to make it more than just an intellectual experience, but something that really touches us at the deepest level of our souls. And it does change. It changes us first and foremost and then empowers us to become agents of change in the world. And, of course, there are millions of people who have experienced answered prayers that was more than a coincidence. It was clearly an intersection of God's care and their need in the course of human life.
But here's the thing. It takes time. And so few of us have that available in great amounts these days.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like any relationship. Prayer, if it's just a religious ritual, then you can, you know, toss up a few thoughts for a few seconds a day if that's your view. But if it's a relationship, which, again, as you know, Lee, this book really talks about knowing God and seeking his face, then it does take time. And time is clearly the most precious commodity that we have. But ultimately, we do what we want to do. And for many of us, there are those moments of desperation and a challenge that force us to really reevaluate our schedule and begin to invest time in something that's really going to change us and change things.
You talk about prayer as a face-to-face encounter with God. Can I ask you, how can you encounter someone you cannot see? What would you say to that?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lee. You know, we have encounters with people all the time via technology. It might be email, it might be Twitter, it might be even Skype, where there's an image of them, but we're really not actually there. You know, there's this miracle of technology that we didn't even know existed, you know, decades ago.
Yes.
That allows us to have very intimate exchanges with people. But the reality for us is that God has revealed himself and his character through the pages of his miraculously inspired word, and it exists to help us to know him and know his character. In addition to that, Lee, I talk about the fact that if you really want someone to know something, you would hire a tutor, you know, for your children, 24/7 tutor. I think of the famous American movie, The Blind Side, where this football player, Michael, who plays on the Ravens, trying to get through school. They hire a tutor, Miss Sue. He becomes a stellar student. You know, Lee, the Lord has given to those of us who know Christ an indwelling tutor of his Spirit 24/7 to teach us how to pray. He's given us the Word of God, the Scriptures, to help us to know him, and that encounter becomes very intimate and real, and I've seen it happen for thousands of people in a life-changing way.
Yes, I wanted to ask you some of those stories in just a moment. Daniel, what are some of the things that you say stop us from having what you'd portray as an enjoyable and, as you say, transformative prayer life?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lee. And, you know, for all of us, there are some hindrances and barriers that I think are very real. For one, I think we're in a spiritual battle. A lot of people don't perceive that, but there's certainly a battle going on for the souls, the affection, the attention of people's hearts and minds. And I do believe biblically we understand that the enemy of our souls, Satan, is always fighting against any attempt on our part to know God better through distraction and discouragement. A lot of us kind of are afraid of intimacy because of the family we grew up in or just a threatening word. And yet if we can move beyond that to discover the life-giving reality of intimacy with God, it is so powerful. For some of us, it's boredom. I say as a pastor, I've declared war on boring prayer times, and that's really because we've just learned to pray in a way that is counterproductive and it's not life-giving. And you know, we just replicate what we've always learned, which might be some rote prayer or some really sleepy, as we've mentioned, grocery list approach. And then a lot of us have never just seen positive models of how prayer can really transform someone's life. And we need those models and need to move past the barriers to experience the reality of what prayer can really be.
Yes. As we've said, many people turn to God in a tough time. When life's going great, they forget to pray or neglect to pray. I'm sure we're all guilty of that at times, probably entirely understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for many of us, desperation and difficult times can be a gift. Recently, we all know that Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, died. And I remember hearing one of his speeches at Stanford talking about the day that he was fired from Apple was probably the greatest gift he ever received, you know. And, you know, that's human nature. Sometimes the most difficult things we ever go through become the greatest gifts. And for those of us who are people of faith, some of the greatest gifts we ever receive are the tough times that really break us loose from self-reliance or just kind of plowing through life without thought or on autopilot, as we might say, and really shake us to the core of who we are so that we do turn and find the divine grace, assistance, and intimacy that's available to us.
On Open House, we're speaking with Daniel Henderson, author of a really interesting and I think helpful book, Transforming Prayer. Daniel, in your book, you talk about worship-based prayer. Can I ask you what you mean by that?
That's a great question. You know, I grew up, and many people who have been in church or some tradition of faith have grown up with what we would call a request-based approach. That really the basis of my prayer life is really the things that I need and that somehow I think I need to inform God of so that he can order the universe according to my specifications.
Yes, I think we all know that.
Yeah, that's right. I often talk about that really is a focus on God's hand, which is certainly spoken of in the Scripture, in other words, what God does for us. But worship-based prayer really begins, according to the pattern that Jesus gave us, actually, with the face of God, not the hand of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to focus on who he is. And so the book really unpacks the idea of really beginning your prayer life, not just with a list, but with a pursuit of the person of God in an expression of worship, and allowing, as we mentioned already, Lee, the Scripture to really inform our minds of these truths about God, to stimulate that worship. And then, even as Jesus taught in the pattern of Matthew chapter 6, that familiar the Lord's Prayer, everything begins out of that worship and flows from that worship to give us a meaningful experience with God in prayer.
And you establish that strong connection between the Bible and prayer.
I sure do. You know, there have been some great heroes of the faith over the years who, you know, have tried to pray without the Scripture. I think of one that some would know named George Mueller, who said, "For years I tried to pray without starting in the text, but once I started in the Bible, I was able to stay focused, and my mind didn't wander." And the Scripture really is the means by which we begin with a focus on who God is.
What should we be talking to God about? Again, you use, as an example from the Bible, the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And what we talk about in the book, Lee, is that when we come into God's presence, Jesus says your Father already knows what you need before you ask. And so he already knows what our list is. And really, that kind of tells us that the purpose of this encounter isn't just whatever list we have created in our own mind, but it is about aligning our hearts in an intimate relationship with him. And as the New Testament talks about, allowing God's Spirit to really begin to control and rule our thoughts and emotions so that we are praying according to God's will, or as we talk about in the book, Lee, praying in Jesus' name, praying the way Jesus would. And you look at the examples, as you've referenced already, of the things that Paul prayed about. We talk about the things Jesus prayed about. And while the Lord does care about all of our needs, the ultimate purpose of our prayer lists is not to inform God about things, but it's to align those things with God's will and God's truth so that we can not only receive his grace, but can live a life that brings him glory.
I'd like to get practical about how we might do this better. For those of us who are so rushed and crushed by the question of time, what would your advice be to those people?
Yeah, you know, again, we talk a lot in the book about the pattern Jesus gave us. I call it the Lord's Prayer for Dummies, you know, and it's a very simple approach when you really break it down. But the beginning place, according to Jesus, in that pattern really is a focus of worship or reverence for God. And even if all we did was to open a passage of Scripture, certainly a natural place would be the Psalms, which are wonderful passages of worship and prayer and personal response. And just read through a passage and asked a very simple question. Now, Lord, what does this passage tell me about you and your character? And as we begin to unpack those truths about God and then begin to respond by just praising him for who he is, just personal expressions that are very simple and intimate and honest, or even some songs, you know, if you're by yourself in a place where you can do that. If that's all you did, that would be a powerful alignment that all of us need every day. But what we find is that coming out of that, we immediately want to respond to the Lord by surrender and yieldedness. And certainly, as we have time, even throughout the day, to just be trusting him for the needs of our lives as they become clear.
It's not something that we just fall on our knees beside our bed, either first thing in the morning or last thing at night. It is something that is there and available 24/7.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it is a relationship, and that's the key for people of faith who are growing in their prayer life to realize this is not about religious ritual, and it could be on my knees at night, or it couldn't be, you know. It could be as I'm walking through the mall or whatever the case is, but it really is a relationship. And when I talk about this, you know, clearly I think we would understand prayer is a two-way conversation, and generally the question then is who should start the conversation? Well, again, if prayer is just about me telling God what's on my mind and hoping he takes care of it, then I should start the conversation. But if prayer, again, is about me knowing him and aligning my heart with his will, then let him start the conversation, even with a passage of Scripture, as we've already mentioned, that can really stimulate a life-changing conversation.
Daniel, within that framework of a reverence for God and responding to God, there still is a place for requests to him.
Yeah, there really is. And just briefly unpacking that model prayer that, you know, even people who aren't that familiar with Christianity can often quote, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," is that first movement of worship. And then, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is the response of surrender and yieldedness. And I often say, Lee, that you don't really know what to pray about until you've worshiped well and surrendered completely. But then it goes into the requests of our heart. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the way we talk about it in the book, that there's two categories there: resource needs and relationship needs. You know, the things I need, my family needs, the missionaries or whoever it is need, and the relationships I'm trying to make work. And every one of our prayer lists, frankly, break down into one of those two categories. So certainly Jesus in his pattern gives us a framework for trusting God with the needs of our lives that are often so pressing.
You also speak of readiness being part of a complete view of prayer. What do you mean by readiness?
Yeah, and again, Lee, that comes straight from the pattern that Jesus gave us. The reverence, which moves into response and then requests, as we've mentioned, of our daily bread and our relationships. But then the prayer kind of takes on an anticipatory note. It says, "And now lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." And that is the idea of getting ready for the battle. You know, it sure be nice if we could all just be monks and hang around in a monastery and swing incense and glow in the dark, you know, but we can't. We have to get off our knees and into a real battle, relationship battles, you know, financial battles, you know, ideological battles, spiritual battles. And so that last movement that Jesus gave us is really the idea of getting battle ready and allowing his truth to really fill our minds and prepare us for the challenges ahead each and every day.
Daniel, as you've spoken at length and written about transformative prayer, what are some of the stories you can relate about how this has truly transformed the lives of people, again, in practical terms?
Thank you, Lee. Again, being a pastor now for almost 30 years, the stories are just so encouraging to me. And, you know, I think of one lady named Joyce who sat down with me one day and said when I first came to the church, which was 8 years earlier, she was so upset with me because she heard me talking about needing to pray, and she said, "I knew how to pray." And then she began to weep, and she said, "But I really didn't know how to pray." Again, example we can all relate to. She says, "All I knew how to do was to sit down for 5 minutes and just show my list to God. But now I know how to spend extensive time in his presence. Now I know how to enjoy him and the power of his grace in my life." Another man named Bob, who at one of our prayer summits where we were away at a retreat center, the prayer time just became so powerful to him, and the scriptures that we were praying so deeply impacting his heart, that he confessed openly a lifelong addiction to pornography, and the men gathered around and prayed for him. It was really about to destroy his marriage for the second time. And in that moment, out of seeking God's face, his response of honesty and confession became transformational. He literally was set free from that addiction and walked in a great pattern of victory and integrity with his wife for years to come. I've seen pastors, their whole approach to how they lead has been transformed as they recognize that leadership has to flow out of an intimacy with God and not simply be a routine of lists that they show people how to conduct.
Daniel Henderson, I'm sure this has been a really helpful conversation for many people around Australia. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. Daniel's the author of Transforming Prayer. Daniel, thanks again.
Thank you, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.